Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And it is hour two here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you, enjoying the sounds of Motown this week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic up in Detroit. Next week, Barry, we're going to have to fish out some Illinois music. That's because it's John Deere Classic Week, and joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, it's the tournament director of the John Deere Classic, Claire Peterson, joins us. Hey, Claire, good morning.
Hey, great to join you guys. Thanks.
Claire, great to talk to you, of course. I almost hardly ever talk to you. No, I'm just kidding. Just for our audience, I also want to say Claire Peterson's one of the best guys in the world of golf, and very well known on the PGA Tour and by all the players, and highly respected, one of the most highly respected tournament directors going. And so anyway, Claire, it's great to have you with us, and we're going to celebrate 50 years of the John Deere Classic. Who would have thunk, huh?
Yeah. Thanks, Barry, for those kind words. Everyone should know that you've been with us for over 20 years of those 50, working in the media center. So
we've
got a lot to be proud of. yes, the 50-year uninterrupted, I guess, except for 2020's pandemic situation, run right here in town is something that we're all proud of. I think if you look at the PGA Tour and see where they stop from week to week, it's in a lot bigger towns than what we represent here in the Quad Cities, but there are plenty of individuals and businesses over the years that just wouldn't let the thing go away. And let's just do it one more year. Let's do it one more year. Let's keep it going. And because of that, John Deere was able to, in the late 90s, jump in and put a real foundation under this. And so now they're the third longest title sponsor on the PGA Tour behind AT&T and Honda.
And Claire, you know, it got started in 1971, and was a little what they call a satellite tour event, and that was won by Dean Beeman, who would go and then the next year it became an official event, and Beeman won it again. He beat Tom Watson, who finished second, and went on to become PGA Tour commissioner. So, and then there were some subsequent years where the tournament really sort of almost went away a couple of times, right?
Yeah, you've done your homework. It certainly helped us that the future commissioner won those first two. Lee Trevino was here in those early years, too, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
Like I say, there were times in its history where the numbers just weren't adding up. And I remember one of those times Dean Beeman stepped in and helped subsidize to kind of bridge the gap. He engineered some dates that were considered encumbered to allow the tournament to be held with a little smaller purse than normal, which helped. But he never forgot. In fact, he was going to come to our 50th celebration last year, fly in from, he spends the summer in Maine. He's never forgotten this event, and he always talks quite honestly about how proud he is of keeping it alive and what's happened here, especially for charity. So we were lucky to have that that guy win the first two for sure.
No, and Claire, I was going to ask you about the charity because I remember talking to you last year and we talked about not having a John Deere Classic with COVID and all the difficulties there, but that the Birdies for Charity, the charitable arm, and the fundraising would still go on. And Barry tells me you raised over $12 million last year, even with no tournament. That's incredible.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. The other side of our business, we call it, we've got two aspects of our not-for-profit foundation. One is the athletic event, certainly, and that's the engine that drives the charity side of the business. But they can exist without each other. You could never do it for too long. But we kind of perfected this Birdies for Charity program. In fact, we licensed the trademark to, I think, 13 other events because it's a great idea. And it allows donors to make their supporting pledges to organizations with the understanding that 100 cents of every dollar they donate is going to that organization. John Deere pays all the administrative costs. So there's not a better deal than that around. And then we put on the tournament and have other fundraising events that puts money into what we call a bonus fund. And each charity that participates is guaranteed 5% more than what their donors represented. So even without a tournament, we had other inputs into this bonus fund. Some people put money directly into the bonus fund. Deer put $325,000 into that bonus fund. So even without a tournament, we're able to give that 5% bonus, and there are 465 different organizations that partnered with us last year.
And Claire, you're giving 100% of the money to the charities, and a really efficient charity. Like if you were to go to Charity Navigator or whatever and trying to find a really efficient charity, they have administrative costs is usually about 20% at least, right, of the budget for most charities.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for what the average is, but it's significant. So you add that back in, and then you add another 5%, you're getting 105 cents of every dollar pledged. That's why all of these organizations are so excited about it and continue, even without a tournament, to partner with us. So $133 million over the course of the tournament has been generated, and most of that has come since John Deere became title sponsor in 1998.
Right. And this year we're going to have at the tournament, John, tournament, we're going to have Zach Johnson, of course, will be back, and Steve Stricker, the three-time winner, three-peat from 09 to 11. He's skipping the U.S. Senior Open to come to the 50th John Deere Classic, so it'll be great to see him. Kevin Streelman from Wheaton will be there, and Doug Gim from Arlington Heights, we just mentioned him, also will be in the field. So we'll have a good group this year.
Yeah, we got Mark Wilson in yesterday too, another right. Good Chicago guy. Our past champions were really excited about that. You named the headliners, but you got Ryan Moore, who won in 2016 and then earned his way onto the Ryder Cup and had the winning point that year in the Ryder Cup. Brian Harmon, who's just playing fantastic, kind of under the radar a little bit, but he's a great player. Dylan Fratelli, of course, who won in 2019, who we've just so enjoyed getting to know and being our guy. Sean O'Hare, John Senden, Michael Kim, Jonathan Bird. We've got a great representation of our past champions. And then we've got 38 guys in the field who have won tournaments. Yep. And that's not easy to do.
Nope.
PGA Tour in the last 3 years. So we're told by the PGA Tour, they did a little research. We've got 13 players in the field who are going to represent their country at the Olympics too.
Right. And Claire, the other thing was you went a little different this year with respect to sponsor exemptions, rather than give them to like the top, you know, the top guys in the amateurs. You know, you kind of did a local thing this year and gave it to like a Michael Fiegels from the University of Illinois and Tripp Kinney from Iowa State the young man from Illinois State, David Perkins. Yeah. And then also Willie Mack, the third, who was really exciting. He made the cut yesterday in Detroit, his first PGA Tour cut. So I think it's going to be cool for people to be able to see these guys.
Yeah, we're excited about it. Our history was giving those spots to kind of the top graduating collegiate players, knowing that getting a professional start was pretty tough. The PGA Tour, starting this year, instituted what they call PGA Tour University, where the top collegiate players now have a pathway to professional golf. The top five get immediately status on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think the next 15 in line get a chance to play on the Canadian Tour or the Latino American Tour or whatever. So we just kind of felt like giving those spots was a little different this year to the top guys. And we were surrounded by terrific young men playing collegiate golf at universities close to us that we could really give, you know, a boost to that probably weren't going to get spots anywhere else. So we've got, as you mentioned, David Perkins from Illinois State, Michael Fiegels from Illinois. We got Alex Shockey from University of Iowa, Tripp Kinney from Iowa State. So there you go. For the Quad Cities, my goodness, you have to enjoy the aspect of having Iowa and Illinois so well represented. Then we've got Luke Kluver from Kansas. He's a Nebraska kid that is really a good player. And then Barry, as you mentioned, Willie Mack, which we're really excited about, and I was happy to see the stories written yesterday about him making the cut. He's a legendary player that hasn't had all the opportunities that some others have. In fact, he qualified for one of those developmental tours and had to say no because he couldn't afford to be out there. So giving him a shot is really exciting, and I think we're going to have a lot of people following those six kids. I guess Willie isn't a kid anymore, but
no. Talking with Claire Peterson, tournament director at the John Deere Classic, and you mentioned it's fitting that you mentioned all the local people and the local students or student athletes, graduates of those schools that you're going to be having out at the John Deere Classic next week, because I know what a huge deal this is to the area out there near the Quad Cities, and I'm sure everyone is just buzzing as the countdown is on your website, 3 days and X hours and counting as July 7th rolls around.
Yeah, it's scary to look at the website the last couple of days.
You got to get the ropes up quick.
That's right. That's happening today. Our board on July 4th weekend is out there right now with gloves and green paint, hammer and stakes in the ground, and roping and staking. So that's kind of our personality.
Mike, I think what a lot of Chicagoans don't quite understand is it's a real volunteer effort out there. You know, having worked at the Western Open and the WGA does a fantastic job here in Chicago with everything, but you don't see volunteers out there roping and staking the fairways here in Chicago. It's more of a professionalized operation, and contractors are doing it. But Claire, I wanted to ask you one other thing, and that is with regard to the British Open. As you, of course, you know that the RNA took away the John Deere Classics British Open exemption, only to restore it about a week and a half ago. And so now we have it back, and of course we have the charter that goes over famously to the British Open every year. But of course the UK situation is crazy with COVID. They're still in the throes of all this, and I'm just wondering what's going on. What's the latest with the charter? And is it still flying? I guess is what people want to know.
Yeah, it's been quite an effort. We've been in talks with the RNA for months now, going over the protocols that exist. They're much different than the protocols here in the States for arrivals from foreign countries, and the United States is not on the green list yet. So we do have the jet. It's a wonderful 767 with 100 seats on it. We have plenty of room to socially distance. We have PCR tests that are going to be done on Sunday, including, well, not only the folks we know are going to go on the charter, but the winner, who we don't know who that's going to be yet, who theoretically will jump on the charter with his caddy. Once we arrive, there are protocols in place to, on motor coaches, get the players to another site near Royal St. George's to get another test. And all that has to happen before they're allowed to compete. And the athletes are getting an exemption. If you or I were to go over to the UK right now, we would have to quarantine for 10 days. So there's a lot of layers to this thing. The Open is still, you know, going to happen just like Wimbledon is. I think they're having 38,000 people a day, they say, but they're being very careful. We're happy to have the charter. Certainly, if you look at our field, there's a lot of guys that we wouldn't have got. We got Daniel Berger and Grant Snedeker yesterday. Both those guys have qualified, and they wouldn't come, I wouldn't think, to our event if we didn't have an easy way to get over to the Open.
Right. Well, and then my understanding is that assuming that the champion, our champion, is you know, gets the exemption, after he signs his scorecard and does a couple of interviews, he's got to go and get tested again, right? He's got to do a, he's got to get a PCR test, and then maybe if he doesn't have COVID, he could get on the jet.
That's exactly right. That's what's happening all Sunday afternoon for the people we know are on the plane. It takes 90 minutes for those tests to turn around. We're going to shuttle the tests over to a lot a couple miles away from the golf course to get the process started. The champion theoretically will then go through all of the things that need to be done with media interviews and everything else after the tournament, get passport information to the charter people, and hopefully by 8 o'clock, hopefully we don't have a rain delay that extends things or an 8-hole playoff. we're trying to get out of town by 8 o'clock.
Yeah. We don't allow the 8-hole playoff, Claire. I think you just got to start yelling Noonan in the, when they're putting, you know, just to make somebody
Hickok,
miss, right?
Kramer Hickok's in our field. So maybe he'll get it.
He is.
Okay. That'd be a great story, wouldn't it?
It would. He played great last week. But, yeah, it's fantastic. Well, it's going to be an exciting week for sure, Claire. It always is. And it'll be great to see the folks in the Quad Cities back and for their really the favorite event out there. It'll be fun to have people back in the neighborhood watching golf.
Yeah, thanks. I just the Chicago District golfer issue is sitting open in front of me, and thank you, the hardest working man in the golf business, for the wonderful stories about the John Deere Classic and our history and so forth. We hope some Chicagoland comes out to see us.
Yeah, well, that was a great story written by Craig DeVries, who has the book Magic Happened.
Yeah.
And great, great book. We'll be interviewing Craig next week about his book about the history of what is now the John Deere Classic, and that's going to be exciting. He interviewed 150 people, and really just a tremendous, tremendous little work of journalism there, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he did do a nice job. All right, guys. Well, on to bigger and better things for you. Well, I'm just going to go
get out there and
steak.
Get out there and listen. You just I don't want you to be picking up a hammer because you're just there out to direct people and point.
Yeah, that doesn't go over very well here, unfortunately.
Well, we appreciate you, Claire, and we'll wish you great luck on the tournament next week. It's sure to be awesome, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Claire Peterson, tournament director of the John Deere Classic. Almost 20 years now he's been the tournament director, and I know the Quad Cities is abuzz to get this going. The 7th, the countdown is on the website, as I mentioned to Claire, and I'm sure he knows that, obviously, anyway. But yes, it's going to be a great week out there for the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, it always is. It's always fun, and it's a really the players always say, you know, it's such a community event because it is. There's only 375,000 people, you know, in the Quad Cities, and
sure.
So you know, Moline and you know, Bettendorf, Iowa, Davenport, Iowa, and Rock Island, Illinois. Those are the four Quad Cities, although there is a dispute. East Moline wants to be included, too. So there's, you know, there's always a fight, right? No matter what, there's always a fight. But, yeah, it's great, and it's really kind of the Super Bowl. It's their own Super Bowl. If you can imagine that the BMW Championship or the old Western Open would be the only thing that goes on in Chicago as far as a major sporting event, a professional sporting event, that's what it is. And the charity aspect is huge because you've got 465 charities. And I mean, little local charities, from charities as small as a little church or a little baseball team, little league team or whatever, travel baseball, up to, you know, the Red Cross and American Cancer Society, et cetera, you know. So it's a really cool thing. That's how people get involved, and the volunteers are, you know, 1,500 volunteers.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, and everybody knows one another. They've been doing it. People take a week's vacation in order to volunteer at the tournament. I mean, these things are, for a guy from Chicago, I've been out there for 20 years doing this, and it's still remarkable to me that's what happens, and it's a great event.
And if you're listening and you want to still volunteer for the John Deere Classic, you can. JohnDeereClassic.com is the website, and they are still accepting volunteers. As you mentioned, it's a big volunteer event, and the charity thing is phenomenal too, Barry. I remember we talked to Claire last year during lockdown, and he talked about pushing forward with the charitable aspects of the tournament, even though there was not going to be a golf tournament. And they raised over $12 million, and the tally over the last 20 is over $130 million. It's really fantastic what they have been able to do with the charitable arm.
Yeah, absolutely it is, Mike. And you know, we always hear, charity with golf, et cetera, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other now, you know, because we kind of assume that it happens. But golf gives more to charity than any other sport, so...
Mm-hmm.
And then certainly at the John Deere Classic is always among the top five in the country on tour. And there's about 40 to 45 events on the PGA Tour every year. And we're always in the top five. So one other thing I wanted to say is if you have young children, it's really a cool place to come because you can watch, you can get up close and personal. The autograph situation with the COVID is not great. But hopefully that'll be remedied by at least by next year. And certainly this year, you know, you compare it to going to the BMW Championship where there's 40,000 people out there every day, and it's really hard to get close and to see. You can see at the John Deere Classic because it's just not that many people in the community. So
right.
The crowds are not overwhelming. We get good crowds, but they're not overwhelming like they are in a big city like Chicago.
Right.
So it's pretty cool if you have your kids. And, you know, and by the way, they have a minor league baseball park over there in Davenport that's pretty cool, too. So there you go.
So
it's a whole weekend
the drive
for you. Yeah,
make the drive is what you're saying.
And they have a bunch of casinos out there. So bring the kids to play blackjack with you too. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, hey Junior, here's how you play blackjack. No, but seriously, head on out to the golf tournament. It's a great weekend or week if you want to make it. But hopefully, lots of our Chicago area listeners will make the trek and hit the road again. A quick preview of our On the Road Again segment, which we will have coming up before we get out of here at 7:40, as the tour is in Detroit this week. We will talk about Michigan Golf with Kevin Frisch. And as we break out of here again, it's johndeereclassic.com. If you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to get more information, get tickets, etc., you can do so right there on the website. When we come back, we will talk more about what's going on at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And then, as I mentioned, Kevin Frisch on the road again, talking golf in Michigan, right here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are here on The Scorecard, about a half hour left in the show here. And Michigan music, Barry, Detroit music, it's more than just Motown.
It's Bob Seger, my friend.
It's Bob Seger. Why can't we have some Bob Seger?
The best of the best, man. You can't find a better rock and roll writer than old Bob Seger. Just the best. So
it is indeed. We are enjoying the music of Detroit and Michigan. That's because we're playing at the Rocket Mortgage Classic up in Detroit this week. And the co-leaders, as we check out the leaderboard, Joaquin Niemann and Tom Lewis at 10 under. Three guys tied at 9 under. Max Homa, Troy Merritt, Chris Kirk lurking. And I mentioned this at the top of the show, but you have several big names up there, including Matthew Wolf, local guy, also Doug Gim at 6 under par. So he's only 4 shots off. But there's a lot of names, a lot of players still in play here. I think it's 73. Is that the exact number, Barry? But yeah. Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, Willie Mack. We just talked about with Claire Peterson
and Ricky Fowler too. Ricky made the cut.
Yeah.
So, I've got a few big names. Mickelson and Bubba are, I think, 3 under, and Fowler's 5 under. So there are some big names that people know. And of course, Joaquin Niemann is a bright young player from I think Chile, if I'm not mistaken. And Tom Lewis has been around for a while. He was an up and coming star from the UK a number of years ago, and he's playing over here now. So it could be a good weekend. And of course, I think the guy really was pretty spectacular was this guy Davis Thompson. Sorry, from University of Georgia, just turned pro not too long ago, and he went crazy, set the course record on Thursday, and he fell back a little bit, but I think he's still in the top 10. So he's a good player, and so that would be really quite a story for a guy like Davis Thompson to do well, do well at that tournament.
He is tied at 8 under. He's 2 shots off. So he followed his 63 on Thursday with a 73 yesterday. As you mentioned, Barry, still 2 shots off, still in the top 10, still in the lead, tied with Kevin Kisner and Richie Wierenski at 8 under par. Cam Davis, Sean O'Hare, Russell Knox. There's a bunch of guys at 8 under, but lots of groupings, lots of golfers still active. Some interesting stuff both on and off the course. We talked about the Phil Mickelson stuff, which I know even if you're not necessarily following golf directly, Phil Mickelson, a big sports celebrity, I guess you would call him, both for his play, certainly, and obviously very well known after all these years on the tour, but made the news we don't have to go into all the details, but the story from the Detroit News about him losing money to a bookie and whatnot, and then all of the surrounding questions that then followed that. But Phil now saying, yeah, I will go back there. You need to sign this pledge to do acts of kindness.
So, just so people are clear, a local writer for the Detroit News basically did a clip job, what we call a clip job in the newspaper biz, and went back and dug up a story that was 23 years old about Phil losing a bunch of money with a bookie. And it all came out in a federal court a prosecution of a mobster deal. So anyway, so Phil was mad about that, and you know, I don't know, rightfully so in a way. Didn't have anything to do with the tournament, and so Phil A threatened to not come back, and B changed his mind and whatever. So just more of the soap opera of big time sports. So
yeah, for sure. No, and he mentioned it too, which is true. You know, as he's he doesn't have to go play in a lot of these tournaments, right? I mean, he's trying to get his ready. Normally, he said he would skip this, but he liked he wanted to come support the the tournament, and he wanted to play in the area and whatnot and whatever. I mean,
there's a lot of Mike. There's a lot of reasons he could be playing. Okay, you know,
sure.
And you don't know all the reasons, and they're not always all apparent.
Sure.
But you know, it's like Tiger Woods saying that he's playing in the Buick Open in Flint, Michigan because he likes the golf course. I mean, he was an endorser of Buick.
Sure.
His deal was he had to play in the tournament. So, and Phil's not particularly, doesn't have a sponsorship that we know of with Rocket Mortgage, but you know, so you don't know everything that's going on. It could be he just wants to get his FedEx Cup points. He wants to improve his Ryder Cup stature, you know, standing, et cetera. So there's a lot of different motivations that Phil has to play that tournament, and not all of them are necessarily altruistic, okay? So
right. The
altruism kind of comes with it, but it's maybe incidental to what's going on. It's part of it, but it's not all of it, okay? So.
Yep.
You know, the story was 23 years old. So whatever. We should just, move on.
We will move on. Actual golf news, and one name, Bryson DeChambeau, who missed the cut at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. He and his longtime caddy, Tim Tucker, split this week after a practice round. That actually big news, the way Bryson has been playing, and certainly he's one of the top 10 players in the world. He's on the U.S. Olympic team, etc. Right? I mean, that's
right.
It's a guy struggling right now, right? And that happened then this week,
right? And you know, Tim Tucker, Bryson made about $11 million on the course last year. So Tim Tucker as his caddy, if it's like everybody else, it's probably he's making 10% off of that, so that's over $1 million. Pretty good piece of change there, to go stand on the driving range, even though Bryson's out there till God knows what time, during tournaments. You know, he's the hardest working man in the golf business. And, so you don't really know what's going on with Tim. He seems like a really hard worker though. So you wouldn't think that was, something else must have happened there. And, it's really hard to know. Caddy player relationships are notoriously fragile, and caddies get fired, even though Tim Tucker was with him in all eight of his PGA Tour wins, including last year's U.S. Open and his first in 2017 at the John Deere. So, and they've split before, so there's a question, well, will they get back together? And Bryson had a guy from Cobra, his club manufacturer, on the bag this week, and he missed the cut by 2 shots. So, and he's been going through a lot of things lately. He hit it all over the lot on the back nine at the U.S. Open, and just seemed to, it looked like he was going to win that tournament. I mean, if you remember, he made the turn, and he was playing great, and he looked like he was going to had a really good chance to win that tournament. And he just blew up. I mean, he shot 44 on the back nine, all kinds of squares, and I think he tripled the 17th hole. So he was really didn't play well, and he, I don't know, you know, you don't know what's going on with the guy.
No, it's definitely been difficult times for Bryson. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see how the Rocket Mortgage Classic finishes out this weekend up in Detroit. Again, John Deere Classic coming up next week in the Quad Cities. Also, the Illinois Women's Open coming up this week at Mistwood. Coming up next, though, we are going to hit the road. Yes, on the road again. It's time for our travel segment. We'll talk to Kevin Frisch about golf and opportunities to golf in Michigan. That's coming up next here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. We'll be right back.
And the final segment here on the scorecard for this week. You hear Willie. He throws the title of our segment right out there in the first line of the song. Yes, it's Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito. We are here heading on the road again. We love to talk about traveling and golf around the country. We're going to focus on Michigan this week. We head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Kevin Frisch joins us to talk about golf in Michigan. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Love Willie and getting on the road again. It's that time of the year.
It sure is, Kevin. And Michigan, folks who haven't been up to northern Michigan, I've been blessed to be there many years ago and even recently. It seems to me, Kevin, there's two categories of Michigan golf travel. One, you go way north to beautiful places like Harbor Springs and Traverse City, and even north of that, you get up even near Mackinac Island, which is awesome, which is an awesome little trip. That it probably takes you a week or so, and then you've got your weekend trips that are in southern Michigan. Let's talk about some of the northern Michigan stuff first, Kevin. What and those can be great family trips.
Yeah, absolutely. Boeing is the largest resort in the Midwest. Obviously, they three resorts: Boeing Highlands, Boeing Mountain, Bay Harbor, right there on Lake Michigan. They've got 10 golf courses. You know, Boeing Highlands is the home for the buddy trips. You know, you've got the Hills Course, the Donald Ross Memorial, the Heather, which is Robert Trent Jones Sr., and then the Moore Course. You know, so and then you go down to the Bay Harbor, which is spectacular with the 27 holes right on Lake Michigan. And then you've got Boeing Mountain with the mountain and the alpine courses. So you've got so much golf there at Boeing. You can go up there and spend a week and play all the golf courses. And, you know, not too far from Boeing is Forest Dunes, which, you know, people have been hearing about over the past few years with the Tom Weisskopf course and Tom Doak's reversible course, the Loop, and then they just opened the par three course there just this past year. So it's there's a lot of quality golf up there to play.
And Kevin, where is the Forest Dunes? I've been there and I don't even know where it is anymore because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's in Roscommon, Michigan. So if you take I-75, you know, those coming from Chicago are going to probably come up along the lake and then cut over to 27 north, and then when you hit I-75 and you're on your way to Mackinac, you get off at Grayling, and it's about 15 miles east of Grayling out into Roscommon.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's spectacular, you know, and the new Bootlegger par three course is it's a lot of fun. They put speakers out there, 10 holes right out back of the clubhouse. It's a lot of fun for groups. And then when you get over the Mackinac Bridge and you head west to Escanaba, you've got four more great courses. You've got the Island Resort and Casino with Sweetgrass and Sage Run, and then Gray Walls, and then and Timberstone. So, you know, that's a great package for Chicago people. They actually could go right up through Wisconsin to get up there. It's actually quicker to go that way.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean, Escanaba. I'm looking at a map right now because I just had to remind myself of where everything is. I think people don't quite appreciate the quality of golf. And the other thing is you can bring your family because, like, for example, at Boeing, they package everything with, you pay for your room and you get breakfast and the whole thing is all combined. How does that work? What do they call that the American plan or something? I don't know. I can't remember.
They've got the Great Escape package, which is the golf package that's 5 days of unlimited golf. Can play unlimited golf on seven of the Boeing courses. You know, that's great for buddies, for couples, and families. Families love Boeing Mountain because they've got the Avalanche Bay Water Park right there. They've got all kinds of outdoor activities with zip lining and segways and fat tire biking and hiking and things like that. So they've got something for everybody at Boeing.
Yeah, no, and Kevin Frisch is our guest here on the road again talking about golf and travel in Michigan. And I'm glad you mentioned the couples and family stuff because, You know, I know that a lot of people in the Chicagoland area appreciate what Southwest Michigan and really, I mean, all through Michigan has to offer. But it might not strike people across the country as, hey, we should go do these, you know, these cool golf trips in Michigan. But it is an absolute gem in terms of things to do. And really, for all ages, you're not restricted by, well, I don't want to bring my kids there, or, well, I don't want to go with my wife. You bring the whole family, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, going through the pandemic like we have the past year, and the significant growth and spike we've seen in golf, we've seen more women out on the course. We've seen more kids out on the course. We've seen more families come and play. And you're seeing that everywhere, and it's really, really cool to see.
And yeah, and then, Kevin, then we're talking about, the other thing to talk about is Southern Michigan. So it's more of a weekend trip. And I know, you know, there are some cool courses in the South, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, just not even maybe an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes out of the city, you can get to Harbor Shores Resort, which is site of the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship, which will be played there again in 2022. And it's a spectacular Jack Nicklaus course that, you know, Whirlpool, with all their development and everything they did there to bring that whole development to the city of Benton Harbor, has been just spectacular. And the Nicklaus course, I mean, it is one of the best in the country, and definitely worth going to play.
All right.
And then not too far from there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, are there some others in that area?
Yeah. And you can go about an hour and a half from there is Gull Lakeview, which has six golf courses. The latest is Stoughton Bray that Tom Doak's firm, Renaissance Golf Design, built. And that's a really cool place for a buddy's trip. And it's also an affordable place. It's you've got a lot of great golf resorts across the country, you know, and a lot of them cost a lot of money to go play. But Gull Lake is very affordable. You've got six golf courses there with the Stonehenge North and South, the East and West Gull Lake courses, and then you had Stoughton Bray in there, and it's a lot of variety and a lot of fun to do.
And Kevin, I know you know, as a married man, I know there's lots of wineries down there. I know the wives certainly enjoy some of the wine country there in Michigan, and you can really combine the two if you wanted to do a family trip. You could do a little for me and a little for her, however you want to do it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of great wineries in Southwest Michigan, you know, and for couples and families, you know, you go into Harbor Shores Resort, just as an example. I mean, the inn at Harbor Shores is beautiful right there in Benton Harbor, and you're not that far from the beach, so you got beach activities you can do. You can play golf, you can go to the wineries, all kinds of fun stuff to do for the family.
Yeah, well, that's very nice, Kevin, and I really think that what should people do to you know, I mean, do you go to the website for Boyne or whatever? Is there a place where you can get a good itinerary and a good idea of cost?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a couple other websites there. You know, you can go to BoyneGolf.com, you can go to ForestDunesGolf.com, you can go to HarborShoresResort.com. And then you can go to GullLakeView.com, or you can go to PureMichigan.com and search golf. And you can find all kinds of places to go visit in Southwest Michigan, Northern Michigan, everywhere around.
And I don't know if people know, but I think that that Northern Michigan, Charlevoix and Petoskey up in there, those are really kind of – and Glen Abbey. Is it Glen Abbey? What's the name of that?
Glen Arbor.
Glen Arbor, yeah. Just unbelievable, beautiful national, what is it, Kevin? It's Sleeping Bear Dunes, yeah. It's unbelievably beautiful.
Spectacular.
Unbelievably beautiful. And there was a, back in the day, I mean, I think Ernest Hemingway and his family used to go up there and escape for the summer. And a lot of people from Chicago wound up going up there. Now, they obviously went for an extended period of time because it's kind of a hike. And it was even more of a hike without the interstate situation back in the day. But it is a really just an unbelievably elegant and beautiful place in this country that people just may not know about. Are you seeing travel from Chicago, Kevin?
Oh, yes, definitely. Chicago is a very popular place where people come from up here. you know, Chicago and Detroit, but more and more over the years, you know, especially along that West Coast, you know, those lakeside towns of you know, Benton Harbor, Holland, Grand Haven, Muskegon, all the way up to Traverse City, Charlevoix, Petoskey, Harbor Springs. I mean, it's just fantastic places to escape in the summer. And it's easy to get up there from Chicago.
Right. For sure. Yeah. And it is gorgeous, Kevin. And we appreciate you so much being on. You know, we talk a lot about tournaments and things on this show, et cetera. But it's always great to talk about what people really want to do, which is to get the heck out of here and go up and play golf somewhere and bring
right.
and someplace where you can really bring your children and your wives and stuff like that. Assuming you have more than one wife and just have a great week and a great time, a great getaway. So it's really cool.
For sure.
So
and anytime you guys want to come up, you just let me know and we'll make it happen. We'd love to have you, but yeah, there's definitely a lot to do for the whole family and some great quality resorts and quality golf for the buddy trips for the guys to get away.
Well, it sounds great, Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and appreciate all the intel on the scene in the golf scene in Michigan.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot for having me on. Have a good weekend. Have a great fourth.
You too. Thanks, Kevin.
You too. Kevin Frisch for On the Road Again, a travel segment. And it really is. It's the great thing about it for, and I speak as a family man with three kids in elementary school. The easy drive right around the lake. You have a thousand options of what to do and things to do. And we just talked about a bunch of the golf options with Kevin. I know about the wine industry. Lots of wineries down there in southwestern Michigan. Combine all of that, and you can do stuff with your kids. It's affordable. It's drivable. It's really a fun option for people in the Chicagoland area.
Absolutely. And there's another resort in southwest Michigan called Tullymore, which is a golf resort, which is a cool place too. So, and again, it's southwest Michigan that I think people would really be interested. 800 acres of Michigan woodlands. So with a lot of good golf. So that's another place. So there's a lot over there. And anyway,
absolutely.
Just wanted to give people a way to get away, get out of the city, and enjoy themselves in the summer.
And it's the perfect weekend to do so, our long 4th of July weekend. Hope you and your family have great plans for it. And Barry Cronin, great to talk to you as always this week.
Great, Mike. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning from the Quad Cities, my friend.
Live from the John Deere Classic, Barry will be on location doing the work right here on the scorecard. We have lots of people to thank for our show today. Thanks to Mike Rankin for producing the show today. Thanks to our guests, Kevin Frisch, Claire Peterson of the John Deere Classic, Nicole Duray from Mistwood Golf Course in Romeoville, and Kevin O'Regan, the Illinois State Junior Champion after winning last week, at McRae. Coming up next on The Score, early odds, then Inside the Clubhouse, so stick around for that. For Barry Cronin, I'm Mike Esposito. We thank you for joining us on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. We'll talk to you next week here on 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.